Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
Young people, the life that is ahead of you is full of unknowns. It's like this equation. There are constants and there are unknowns. The only constant you have in life is God and His love for you.
Pastor Neil, in this lesson, shared some valuable advice with recent graduates, highlighting the unpredictable nature of the future. He stressed the importance of holding on to their faith in Christ, comparing life to a mathematical equation filled with both known and unknown variables, where the only certainty is God and His unwavering love for them. He urged them to avoid negative influences, embrace positive qualities, and confront challenges head-on. Let's listen to Pastor Neil's insightful message. After graduation.
I want to speak on the subject today, after graduation. Three things you need to do after graduation. I know some of you are saying, Pastor, we have not graduated. Yes, you did. You got up this morning. You didn't graduate into death. To the other side, you came back. So you have had graduation. Because graduation signifies an end, and it also signifies the beginning of something. For those of you who graduated from high school, you ended high school life, but you are beginning a new life in college. Are you hearing me? For those of you who are in college, college is over, but now you are in the real world. You will start paying bills, and there are things you're going to grapple with. But don't be afraid. You will make it. I said you will what? Are you in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6? After graduation, there are some things we want to do. I know most of you are considering questions like, how am I going to succeed in life? And some of us are simply looking at, how am I going to be happy and satisfied? Please, do not buy into the error. Money does not make happy. It helps, but it doesn't. I have seen people who, because of the money they have, they can't sleep. I go to a lot of places and I don't need security. But when you're pushed into a certain status, people will be in your business. You are in the bathroom and they are at the door waiting for you. I don't want that kind of life. I want to make sure I am free. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'll be preaching from the 3rd verse all the way to the 12th verse, but let's read 2 verses only. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and verse 12. I'll read from the King James. He says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." Everybody say flee. And he says, "And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Everybody say follow. Thirdly, he says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Three things that you need to do after graduation. We pick them up out of these two verses. Flee the vices, follow the virtues, fight the variables. Did you copy that? Flee the vices. Number two, follow the virtues. Thirdly, fight the variables. Do I need to say it again? Flee the vices. Paul is teaching Timothy. He says, Timothy, there is a place you are coming to. There are vices. There are things that are not good. You are entering into a world where there's all forms of craziness. People will teach you the love for money. It's a vice. The Bible says flee it. Everybody say flee it. Then he talks about faithfulness, righteousness, godliness. These are virtues. Follow them. That is what the verse says. And then finally he comes to a place and says, whatever you claim you believe in will be tested. You must fight the variables, the things that don't change. So let's just take a few moments to examine these truths. Now let's go back to verse 3 because I want to take time and read through all of them for us to. So we are looking at flee the vices. Everybody say flee the vices. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. He says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, even surmising, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Everybody say gain is not godliness. Did you copy that? It says, from such withdraw yourselves. Graduates, listen to me. The scripture says there are levels of vices, and it says, from such what? Withdraw yourself. Don't try to stay around it because it will corrupt you. From such, redraw yourself. The first thing, the first vice he wants us to flee from is the vice of false doctrine. False doctrine. Everybody say false doctrine. We live in a time when there is so much error that is being taught and that is being preached. It makes sense, so people grab to it. But when you compare the entirety of scripture, these things are out of order. Secondly, he tells us to stay away from the vice of contentious arguments. You know how sometimes we are just fighting over stuff and having arguments. I've been in places where people say, we don't believe God exists. And sometimes I don't say a word to them. It is not because I don't have an answer to that. It is because I don't sense in my spirit to engage them. Amen? One day when they close their eyes on this side, and they open it on the other side, they will realize God is there. The problem is they can't come back to tell the rest. So if I were you, when you go to the university classrooms and you are in those lecture halls and you have a professor that I listened to one time, he told the people, welcome to my lecture. If you have any sense of God in you, get ready because I will knock it out by the end of this lecture. These are the kinds of people you're going to meet. Flee from these vices because God exists. Did you hear what I just said? You cannot explain God in a test tube. Science has never been able to explain God. And you must not be talked out of the God we have taught you. He is real. I said he is what? He is real. Flee the vice of false doctrine. Don't get yourself into contentious arguments. No bad mouthing. Don't go around peddling suspicious rumors. It is not important for the child of God. Flee these things, he says. No backstabbing. Commercialization of the gospel. He says it here. Let's pick up the verse from verse 6. 1 Timothy 6:6, he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. If you go to verse 5, he says, there are people who are saying that gain is godliness. Is that true? That if you have a lot of money, that means you are a Christian. Let's just be honest, that's not true. In fact, write this statement down, and I know it would sound controversial, but search the scriptures. Godliness does not give financial gain. The place is quiet. I said, godliness does not what? It doesn't. If you walk with God, it does not mean you'll be rich. If you mess around with investments and how to manage money, you'll be poor. Even though you are godly. Are you with me? This is why you find a lot of prayerful Christians who are poor, because they think prayer will bring them money. Anybody who told you that is lying to you. Young people, when you go to the place of work, work. I said, do what? And you adults, stop cutting corners. Work. If you work for me and you don't use your time right, you can complete a sentence. I will fire you. Rather, what the word of God is teaching us is that godliness in itself is a gain if you are content with the earthly things you have. So Paul is saying it is time to flee. And whilst I talk about commercialization of the gospel, I'm also talking about people who you will see at the place of work lying on their resumes. Stand by God. He will fight for you. It takes time, but he will do it. One of the things that makes Satan have the authority over the church is that we are lying so much. Christians lie too much. And in the realm of the spirit, not walking in purity, Satan has the upper hand. Amen. I want to prepare you to face the world out there and let them understand that I am a child of the King. I'm not going to leave anyhow. Everybody say, flee the vices. Finally, he talks about the love of money. Notice how he says it here. I wish we can put those last two verses in the Message Bible so you can listen to how the Message Bible puts it. Verse 9 says something very important here. He says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all what? Now, most of us, we jump into verse 10. And I want you to look at verse 9 because it is crucial. Everybody say, flee. The vice of money. But if it is only money these leaders are after, they will self what? When? You smarter than God? If he said something, it is true. He says, if the only thing you are running after is money, you will self-destruct. No wonder today we have politicians and people in a place where they could make very good decisions, but they are making very poor choices. Because money is at the base of all of it. Money is at the base of all of it. I challenged someone in the Maryland General Assembly, that why would you make decisions like this to destroy the future of our children? It's amazing how the month we celebrate Father's Day in is the month they have chosen to make it the Pride Month. You must pay attention to what is going on in our world. Yes. And then the person says, Pastor, if you have $40 million, then you have a seat at the table. And I said, I don't have $40 million, but I'll still have the seat on my knees. Money. The love of what? Money. Young people, look for money, but don't let money become your God. The truth is, it is either money or God. God has not programmed you to have both. You are using money to serve your God, or you are using God to look for money. That's what most Christians do today. All the prayer meetings we go, we are using God so we can have money. God says, serve me, and I will bless you later. Verse 10. But if it is only money these leaders are after, they will self-destruct in no time. Lust for money brings trouble and nothing but trouble. Going down that path, some lose their footing in the faith completely and live to regret it bitterly after. You copy that? I pray that you will flee the vice of money, the love of money. Look for money, but don't let money become your God. Amen. But he tells them not only to flee vices, but he says, I want you to follow virtues. What are those virtues? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. I want to focus on patience. If you are not patient, there are things you will not see. Some of our brothers and people who are saying, today we are all rejoicing with them, we bless God for the miracle, they kept coming. Pastor, let's pray. If you were in my shoes, sometimes you will feel like you are ineffective. Because you've been praying for 15 years and nothing is what? That is what this generation sounds like. We have to see results. No. God wants you to stick with him before you see results. He doesn't want you to pimp him. Be patient. When you get to that place of work, don't rush to get to the top. You know, when I was growing up, an older minister illustrated patience with garu soakings and fufu. And he was illustrating that anything that you're able to prepare quickly does not fail you. But the one that will fail you, it takes quite a lot of time. Any wealth that you take your time to get it, you will be able to hold on to it. Yes. Quick fixes. Hey, what is the new quick scheme on this corner? Flee these vices. Embrace. Follow after patience. Tell the person sitting next to you, follow after patience. Then he says, not just patience, but I want you to follow after love. Everybody say love. And he's not just talking about loving people, but he's talking about the love of God. I'll deal with it when I get to the third part. You know, I read a story of a guy, his name is Hin. Hin was in a concentration camp during the Vietnamese War. He decided he was going to give his life to Christ. But shortly after he had done that, he had a chance of moving around with a preacher and interpreting because he could read English. So he went pretty much throughout all of Vietnam interpreting for this preacher. Then the meetings were over, the preacher left, and this guy was by himself, and he was still in the prison, and he was wondering, how in the world can I do the work of God, interpret for people to be saved, and I'm still in the same concentration camp, and my life has not changed. So he decided that night that he was not going to serve God anymore, because it was a waste walking with God. Young people, listen to me, because you are always in a rush to get a result. The God we serve is a God who wants to see how serious you are with him before he starts opening your eyes to certain things. Didn't people live for God in the book of Hebrews 11, who the scripture says they were men and women of faith, yet they did not receive a result to one thing they were looking for? How does the Bible call them faith? Because the object of faith is not the physical things we look for. The object of faith is God himself. So Hin goes down on his knees and he prays in his cell and says, God, this is over. I'm not doing no more. I'm not going to serve you anymore because I'm sick and tired. How in the world can I go everywhere, do your work, come back, and I'm still within this simple prison walls? The next morning, when he begins his whole idea of I'm no more a Christian. Now, the prison ward calls him and says, I need you to clean the toilets around where I live. He goes and then he cleans. And when he takes the paper basket bin about to just offload it, he realizes that there is a paper with it with English written on it. But it was full of human feces. I'm talking about embracing the love of God. Follow about God's love, young people. So he grabs the paper. Now, remember back in those days, and if you are in prison cell, there are no gloves. So he takes the paper and he washes it. And then he, after he's done washing the whole thing, he looks at it and it was Romans chapter 8. And the verse that has been circled on there, he wonders who circled it. And we know that all things work together for good. I was the one who says God didn't love him. But notice how God is speaking to him. Notice the path that God had to take to speak to him. God is always speaking to his children. So now he grabs this paper and he keeps it with him. And so the next day, The boss calls him and says, today will be your last day, the second day to clean my toilet. Don't come here anymore. And he goes and he realizes that there is another paper with English on it. He grabs it and then he cleans it up. And then he realizes this is Romans chapter 9. So he goes back to the boss and says, sir, would you do me the favor and the honor of always cleaning your toilet? Because this boss, this Vietnamese soldier, this colonel had been given a Bible. He didn't like the Bible. So he tears the pages off it and uses it as his tea roll. Notice how God is pushing one to use the thing that he's destroying something, but he's empowering his child. And so gradually, Hin had the whole book of Romans in his hands. And in those days, having a Bible was illegal. Few years after he was released from the jail, and he was told he could go anywhere, but he cannot leave the country because he has done so much for the boss. So he began to prepare a boat to get on the water and run away. And whilst he was almost done with it, with his friend preparing that boat, four guys came to visit him and they asked him, we have heard that you want to escape. Is that true? He looks at them and he says, no. And after they left, he began to weep because he just lied. And the Spirit of God came to him and said, why did you tell them you are not? Because you know that that's exactly what you have planned to do. Few days after, the same four guys showed up again. And they ask him again, we are 100% sure, we have the information. It's just the two of them. How did they find out that you wanted to run? He looked at them and said, yep, I want to run. But please, make sure you don't kill me, because he thought they were the people who were going to take him and hand him over. They said, no. The only reason we ask you is that we want to go with you. You see how God is working it out? And on the voyage, the only reason they survived was because of those four people, because they knew how to manage boats and ships. God had made the work, prepared it, sent people to protect him, and he is there crying over. But notice the route he takes him. He has to go and clean a toilet in order to see a paper. God's love must always be remembered, and you must embrace it. Our world will tell you, join groups to be loved, but your God always loves you. You don't need a group. You don't need an association. He says, you are my child, and I am going to be there for you. Are you hearing me? So flee the vices, follow the virtues, but finally, fight the variables. Everybody say, fight the variables. Now, if you did mathematics, and you saw an equation like x plus 9 is equal to 4. How many of you have done this kind of equation before? Somebody said long time. At least you can recognize it. In this equation, 9 and 4 are constants. But x is a variable, meaning it is unknown. Young people, the life that is ahead of you is full of unknowns. It's like this equation. There are constants and there are unknowns. The only constant you have in life is God and his love for you. Because some people will tell you, hey, I love you all, until something shows up and you realize it ain't so. The only constant in life is God himself. Jesus puts it this way. He says, the same yesterday, today, and Malachi 3 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. He is the only constant. There are unknowns. Everybody say there are unknowns. You don't know if you succeed or not. You don't know if you will complete college or not. You are only assuming, you are putting your faith on the line that maybe, just maybe, because other people make it, you will make it. But I'm here to declare, no matter the unknowns, if you can depend on the constants, because the only way to solve this equation is to use the two constants. Do you agree? How do you find X? You have to use the 9 and the 4. Once you use what is constant, in other words, once you put your confidence in the God who is the only constant in the universe, because everything in our universe is changing. If you put your confidence in this God, you'll be able to deal with the unknown. I said you'll be able to deal with what? How do I fight the variables? Two things, really quick, and I'll close. I fight variables through my faith. He says, fight a good fight of. Then he talks about the fact that you will come to a place. Let me read verse 12. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou also art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Everybody say, before many witnesses. Turn to the person sitting next to you. Look straight at them. I'm going to give you what to tell them. Don't say anything yet. Tell them anything you believe in will be tested. Anything. If you believe that God is a healer, some disease will show up in your life that doctors don't have answers to. It will be tested. But if you can stand, God will come through for you. You might go into a place of work. Young people, are you listening to me? Those of you who have finished university and you are launching into the place of work, and they will tell you these are the norms in this place, and you look at it and you know that it is unrighteous. But when you talk, you will be fired. Today, I stand on your behalf. Not only those in this building, but those who are also online, hear the word of the Lord. Father, I thank you that you are raising up even the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The fire will seem to scare others, but it will not scare them, because righteousness shall be their way of life. If you believe Jesus is Lord, it will be tested. If you believe that God, it will be tested, I'm telling you. And sometimes many believers, they fail because they are so quick to be like everybody else. You are not everybody else. You are very different. I said you are very what? Different. And you must rise to come to that place where you tell yourself, I live for Jesus day after day. I live for Jesus. Let come what may, the Holy Spirit, I will obey. I live for Jesus day after day. Let me end with these words, child of God. Flee the vices, follow after the virtues of righteousness and godliness and faith and love and gentleness and patience. But then also fight a good fight of faith. Fight the variables, the unknowns of life. When they come, we fight through faith using our confessions, because everything you have spoken will be tested. I said it will be what? Let me end with the words of Solomon, the wisest man, so to speak, who lived on earth. He says, remember now your creator in the days of your youth. Remember him now, because there's going to come a day. How many of you have heard the name Marilyn O'Hare? Anybody in the building? You have? Marilyn O'Hare was the one who challenged Congress and decided that there can't be prayer and Bibles in schools. She proclaimed that she was an atheist. She didn't believe in God. Years after she had passed, her diary was being auctioned. And in it, three times she wrote, somebody somewhere love me. Do I need to repeat it? He says, somebody somewhere what? Because when humans separate from God Almighty, your need of love will be filled with anything. She was not bold enough to look for help, but it was found out. And for those of you who are thinking that God is not going to be in the equation, you will be struggling, because your safety and your satisfaction can only be found in one and the one only we call God. So return to Him. And I want to remind every single one of you today, flee the vices.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.